The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. Now here's your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs Gold winner. Well, radio listeners, what another beautiful Saturday morning in Colorado Springs. I believe we're officially into summer here on the 26th. And let me tell you how I love Colorado. I've loved the rain. I've even loved the hot weather. And I hope you're having a great Colorado morning. If you're listening, I am Jay Garvin's. I'm your host right here of the Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, where Matt, my producer, and I have been coming to you personally every weekend for over 10 years, 550 consecutive shows, trying to help educate you, put a little humor, put a little sincerity into your life about all subjects, real estate, all subjects, mortgage, retirement, and the economy. Today will be no different, where I'm going to be sharing with you part two of a series I started on the 5th of June called Return to the Peanut Farm. Inflation part one, I talked about an introduction to inflation, but today, drumroll, Matt, the contemplation of inflation, part two. Still returning to the peanut farm and the potential discussion of inflation going back to the 70s when we had Nixon, Tricky Dick, and also the coveted Jimmy Carter, our peanut farmer president, where we experienced similar inflationary hedges. Now, this is not an Armageddon doom and gloom show. This is education. I have the heart of a teacher, and I want you to reach out and call me with questions, with comments, whether it's Susan, whether it's Jane, whether it's Bob, whether it's Robert, all of you, the regular listeners. I appreciate and love you so much. More than 7 of you reached out by phone, another 5 by email this last week for my first-time show titled The Tennessee Two-Step, where I just completed a 1031 exchange by selling a piece of property that was an investment taxable asset in Colorado, exchanging that money into a purchase into Tennessee with no tax at all, following all of the regulations put forth by the federal government and the IRS. But today, I'm going to talk being transparent about the inflationary hedges before us. I'm going to review the different components today about the key drivers that we have in our economy right now that are leading to the conversation of inflation. And those are a record amount of savings that Americans have nationwide, a historically low and limited set of resources from natural resources to production resources to employee resources, but then also a huge sentiment to spend. That is a cocktail for inflation. It's not a guarantee. I will talk about that. But the most important factor that we have as Americans, and especially the middle class, affecting us on the positive side and the negative side of a potential inflationary hedge is our real estate and our finances. Specifically, your house, if you're a homeowner, is most likely your largest investment in your life. But also your debt, especially variable debt like line of equities, credit cards, anything that can change dramatically in an inflationary hedge is what I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to wrap out and complete the show with the biggest takeaways of will inflation continue or not? Who's going to be most affected? How long will it continue? And most importantly, how you can prepare for yourself, your family, and your retirement. But real estate affects us all the most. And it took me a lot of pull to get the host of Real Estate Realities in the radio studio specifically to talk about real estate and its effect and influence as far as inflation's concerned. Mr. Justin Hermes, how are you?
Jay, I'm doing good, man. Good to see you. Geez, OP, I love the topic you got lined up for today and always good info on your show, my friend.
Hey, and you know, I just listened to you last Sunday, and touche, back to you, my friend. Great, great show that you had about getting coaching and improving yourself in life. Who was the gentleman you had on?
HB Paisley. And yeah, it was
what
just good.
What does HP stand for?
HB.
OHB standard.
How about that?
How about that? But we're talking about real estate, and you and I spoke. Hey, there's conversations of an inflationary hedge. I have an article here. I have so many articles. This one is inflation friend or foe. And right here it says, the good things about inflation is that if you're a homeowner, if you own stock and you have a good cash flow business, inflation is actually a positive or good thing for you. But then inflation is not very good if you're trying to buy a house, build a house, either as a consumer or a builder. And more importantly, if you're a company like Amazon that's having to build these multi-billion dollar facilities, may become multi-billion dollar because of the cost of goods, the cost of raw materials, and the cost of labor. So as far as real estate, I want to take 10 minutes and just tell me, what's your take on the real estate, the value, our effect on inflation, and those type of things, my friend?
Well, I've found at least that people run towards real estate as a safeguard against inflation, you know? So I feel like interest rates still historically are low. The average rate over the last 40 years, about 8%. So I think there's still great opportunities to get into real estate and to create some passive income. And, you know, it's just like having your three different buckets. Real estate's got to be one. You have to have a tangible asset. And I see really it helping investors with inflation. Mary and Paul, who you introduced me to, radio listeners of yours, we helped them buy that house down in Fountain on Avenido. Sabrina, your loan officer, did the loan.
Yep.
And we didn't even get it up for rent. It rented for $1,800. That's a house that would have rented 3 years ago for $1,200. It rented for $1,800. Like, the people were just enthused to have it. As rental prices grow, I think the landlords are just going to be, you know, sitting pretty. So I think inflation overall will be helpful when it comes to real estate. But I think other areas of life, I mean, if you're looking at new build and stuff like that, it could definitely hurt. But overall, the people I work with who own investment properties, I see it being very beneficial, actually. And I see that less people are going to be able to buy now in the long term. And so what that does is offers more security to landlords. So I'd feel great right now being a landlord. And if you're not a landlord, I think you still have some time to get in on the market. You can touch on this more, but I see at least in a couple of years, interest rates being closer to 6%. And you can tell me if I'm wrong on that, but I feel like that will play a good effect in people being able to pick up cash flow appreciating properties.
No, I agree with you completely. And one of the number one questions I get, which I'm sure you get, is this a bubble? Yeah. And I say, you know what? No, it's not, but yes, it is. And let me explain. Housing is not going to slow down. Some, no offense, millennial on bigger pockets was saying how this is a bubble, and he probably doesn't even own a house. I don't even think he could shave. But the bottom line is that we have 48 million of the 87 million millennials that are coming into the market, turning 40 years old, 35, 36, 37. These are the big house buying years. So the demand's not going to go away. The inventory is so low that we could go from 500 homes on the market all the way up to 2,000, and we still would be even.
Yep.
I believe, I'm confident, and I've said it publicly, if you're listening, this is not for your friends, this is just for you. This extreme demand is going to shift from real estate to renting, where when the interest rates go up, you know they are, the prices are now going up, it's going to start to eliminate people from the purchase market, stabilize that market, and now in 5 years, it's not going to be $1,800 like Paul and Mary. It's going to be us listing our house for $1,950, someone calling and saying, I'll take it for $2,100 a month. I want a three-year lease, and I'll give you $1,000 to sign with me now.
Yep, 100%. Jay, I totally believe that, and I've had a lot of the same people asking about it's a bubble. I said, I think we have 2 to 3 years left of this.
Yes.
But what I will tell you first is, I said, but at the end of the day, who cares? And they go, what do you mean, who cares? I go, well, if the approach I teach is 15, 20-year holds, it's like Warren Buffett. You don't make money unless you hold long term. And in real estate, I was showing a graph to someone the other day. I said, look, 08, worst housing crisis ever. I said, here's a property we managed in 05. They bought it at the peak of the market, went through their worst crash. And guess what? They just sold last year and made double their money. What does that teach you? Even through the worst real estate correction, if you hold 15 to 20 years, you're going to make good money. So why do you care if it dips a little bit? You're not selling. It's like a stock. People go, oh, I lost all this money. No, you didn't. You didn't sell the stock. So play the long term and you're going to be fine. You're going to ride it up and down. And over the long run, you know, you look at the historic prices. And, you know, what I tell people now is, believe it or not, the home you're buying, what our goal is 7-8% cash flow and then room for great appreciation. And I told Mary and Paul, I said, believe it or not, we're looking for this home to be double value in 15 to 20 years. And that may be hard for you to comprehend, but I do see this home at $600,000 in 15 to 20 years. So we got a double up of appreciation and cash flow as we're getting there. And I just think it's funny because so many people get caught up in the flipping and, well, what's going to happen next year? And it goes, Who cares? Great. Well, you just like you're going to go try to flip a house and make 20 grand. That's not changing your life, number one. And number two, geez, that's a stressful life.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes, Justin, even though your and my intent is good, we can mislead our listeners. Just 30 seconds ago, you said we've got 2 or 3 more years left of that. Explain that. Expand on this. Why you think we have 2 or 3 more years left of this. What's this?
I still think we're going to see quite a bit of multiple offers. You know, there are some people who go, wow, things have really slowed down June and July. I'm go, how different is this? And the only other June, July was different was last year because of COVID. But go back. Even in this hot market, June and July is the worst time to sell your house. It is when things slow down. People
family
are
going on vacation. Family are traveling. Yep, on
and
vacation.
The buyers actually came in March, April, May. Secured their homes, closed in, guess what, June, because they want to have a home secured. They're not running it right up until when school starts mid-August. So it's no different. I see a double appreciation, at least 10% or more over the next 2 to 3 years until builders can satisfy demand.
Yes.
And until interest rates increase and we'll have to get back to 2,000 homes on the market will be just sufficient. When I was starting this business 7 years ago, 4,600 homes, man. And think about how much the population has grown since then. So we're talking 2,000. That means 10 times almost what we have on the market now would make things probably go back to 5-6% appreciation.
Stable. And it's 2-3 years, not because there's a bubble, but because with affordability and the eventual reality with interest rates is, at least for the investment property market and now affecting mainly the primary purchase market, affordability is going to become the issue, not the fact that there's a bubble and we've lost value. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think people focus too much on 08, and you can touch on this way more.
I will later.
But the thing that's hilarious is you go, guys, have you tried to get a loan lately? It's really tough process. All these loans that are going out are very high quality loans.
Yes.
And people are buying are very qualified. And so I look at it and go, the system was broken in 08, and there's not a broken piece of the system right now. And that's what people can't wrap their head around is that was an anomaly.
If people are
waiting for that to happen again, guess what? You're going to be waiting on the sidelines for a while.
So let's finish with this in your last minute or two. You and I know right now the mortgage process is hard. If you're getting a government loan, it's in the 2s. If you're getting a conventional loan, it's in the 3s, unless it's a 15-year mortgage and then you're in the 2s again. When we see interest rates go up to the 3s, 5s, 6% and appreciation continue in double digits, where do you see the market in 3 years where affordability is an issue and now renting is an issue and those who have investment properties are good or what?
Yeah, I think people are sitting in the invest. I think the people who've sold homes are going to regret it. You know, certain people need to sell to relieve some debt, or maybe it makes sense. They don't have a cash flow asset. But I really do think people who are held on are going to see greater cash flow with the rental market. And I think, you know, we'll get back to, like you said, a 6% healthy is what we want. I want to see that happen because you don't want to see, you know, you got to have affordability here in check to keep Colorado Springs a great place to live. And I think it'll happen naturally. A natural market will correct itself.
Yeah. So before you leave, it's important for you to have a conversation with an effective real estate agent. Justin, how do folks get a hold of you?
Just call me on my cell, 719-232-1063. That's a 232-1063. You can text or call me. Jay, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Awesome, buddy. I appreciate you, and thanks for helping open up the show. And I'm going to be back right after these important messages to continue the conversation about the contemplation of inflation right here on the Jay Garvin Show.
There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed. It's just country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
A boy's born in that Mississippi, surrounded by for walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Aero Moving and Storage.
Living just enough, just enough for the city.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay Garvin's. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Today's title is part two of Back to the Peanut Farm, the contemplation of inflation. On the 5th of June, I introduced this subject of inflation. If you look at the number of Google conversations, the number of Google searches on inflation, it's a very volatile conversation. But I'm here to have it with you from a very balanced approach. Now, in the first show, on the 5th of June, I really did some of the history of inflation back in the 70s when there was inflationary hedges through President Nixon and President Carter. I went all the way back to 1919 to the historical response to the Spanish flu, the last time we had a pandemic of any size equal to COVID-19. And then I went into some other aspects in that show about the key driving factors of inflation, how they're in play today, and how they're running on all cylinders, and whether this is a temporary event or a more long-term. Now, the bottom line is this. I want you to call me at 719-330-1457. You all know that I'm a licensed loan originator. I want to help you get ready for an inflationary hedge, whether it comes or not, because the things that you should do are in place, regardless of what inflation is. But hopefully, this conversation will just bring it to the forefront of your priorities. So call me at 719-330-1457. I know that I can help you with this. If you don't have time to stick around, the biggest ways financially that you can help insulate yourself from an inflationary hedge, where the cost of goods go up dramatically and the cost of living goes up dramatically, is simply to eliminate your risk. And your financial risk is debt. The height of your financial debt risk is variable changing interest rate and monthly payment debt, credit card debt. If you think a 19% credit card minimum payment is large, imagine a fluctuating 30% interest on a credit card. If you think a variable line of equity, which all line of equities on your house, all signature line of equities, unlike the new furnace that you finance and you just need to get it paid off in 6 months, or you pay the balance, is variable debt. There's no such thing as a line of equity or a line of credit on your house that is not variable. If your credit union or your bank told you that, they're lying. They're misleading you. Now, if you transition that line of equity to a fixed second mortgage, which costs you money and comes by request, then that's a different story. That's what I want you to call me on immediately. Do not wait till Saturday. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till Monday. Call now at 719-330-1457. And here are the three key drivers that I introduced to you on Saturday, the 5th of June. Number one, a key driver that's in play right now is Americans have a record amount of savings. More than $6.4 trillion was saved in the last 12 months during the pandemic with the middle class. That's at a 10-year high. And of course, that's because of the pandemic and the fact that it disallowed Americans to get out and spend, both protectively and with government strongholds. There was no need to shut down schools. Just look at the number of individuals in this country that died that were under the age of 20. It's less than 1,000 in a country of 320 million people. Five times that number of people died between and below the ages of 20 to zero from suicide. There was no earthly reason why they needed to close down some of the restaurants. Look at the CDC numbers. There was no significant data that shows there was a spreading of the virus in a honky-tonk in Nashville or Lodo on 16th Street in Denver. It's a fact. The highest area of contamination and transfer was in individual homes, group homes, hospitals, care facilities. Number two is that there was an excessive amount of stimulus money. We've, in the last 20 months, United States has spent more money than all of World War II in both theaters, both in Asia and in Europe, with all the tanks, all the airplanes, all the hospitals, all the uniforms, all the ammunition combined. We have spent, in the last 20 months, more than we did in all theaters in World War II. That's an excessive amount of stimulus. Number three, the fear of spending because of the economic situation, the jobless situation, the paycheck to paycheck situation has brought in this first driver of we have extra savings in the United States for Americans to catapult and spend. Number two, we have, of course, limited resources. I'm going to talk about this, but everything was shut down. There's no steel. There's no raw materials being mined. There's no industrial capacity of different refrigerators and furniture and air conditioners and cars being made. That was all stymied. But also, you have the job market where you can't create a product. One, if you're shut down, that's one thing. But there are some essential businesses that were kept open and the employees were employed. Well, now there was hundreds of industries that couldn't produce items. And with your limited resources in industrial production, in distribution capabilities, and the extremely low employment, now that adds to limited sources. I told you, the pandemic shut things down, and then the federal government? The worst part about the limited resources is that the federal government said, we'll pay you to stay home. Now, I'm going to get to this later. One, about my Tennessee two-step purchase. And number two, the fact that there were a lot of states that have gotten their workers back to work, like Tennessee, like South Dakota, like Idaho, Utah. They said, we don't want the unemployment. We want to get back to work. And the third one is a huge sentiment to spend. I mean, you have $6.4 trillion of savings. Now that's expected to be backed up with another $6.2 trillion in extra savings and money because this administration continues to pour on the stimulus. And I disagree with the stimulus. We don't need stimulus. We need jobs and things to be open because we're short on employees. Number two, there's record spending at the same time that there's record savings of $3.6 trillion coming into 2021, and they're expecting another $4.5 trillion going out of 21 into 22, and people have a desire to get out and travel and spend. So that's the background. Those are the different drivers of inflation that are in place. Record savings, limited resource, and a huge sentiment to spend. We don't need unemployment. We need people to go back to work. We don't need stimulus. We actually need capital to businesses, and they can get that themselves. And we certainly don't need this next spending infrastructure package. We just need to get in line so we can prepare for this inflationary hedge. So in the next segment, I am going to go into the details of why I think inflation will continue, at what rate I think it's going to continue, and how you can personally prepare yourself, your family, and protect your retirement right after these messages. So don't go anywhere. Call me at 719-330-1457 to start your next purchase or refinance mortgage, especially if you need to do a makeover mortgage where we get rid of all of your debt, consolidate your unsecured debt, get it into fixed debt that's inflationary proof. That's going to be very important. I'll be back right after these important messages.
Hey, I just met you.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. We're back now. Here's Jay Garvin's.
Hey, where's the beat?
Okay, my friends, Jay Garvin's here. Thanks for sticking with me. It's really hard to sit during the breaks because I'm so excited to talk to you. Had one conversation. I want you to call now at 719-330. I just had a conversation during the break with Joanne, how she's buying a house. She's locked in at 3.5%. It's conventional. Get this, folks. She offered a little bit over asking price, but when she got the appraisal, the appraisal came in tens of thousands of dollars more than even the contract because real estate has appreciated over 20% from this time last year in May. And we're talking today about inflationary hedges, so please call me specifically for two reasons, 719-330-1457. Or you can go to churchillcolorado.com and stay diligent until you find my 719-330-1457 number. Stay diligent until you get to a 719 number. Understand we are local, so you don't need to be helped from anybody else, let alone someone in Churchill that's in Florida or Herndon in a call center. We're very, very busy, but we have a group of six of us right here that are ready to go. And in this segment of the show, I want to talk about how you personally can look at these inflationary hedges and what you can do for them. And here's the reality. Right now, by the grace of God, there's a lot of raw materials that got exceptionally expensive during and immediately after the pandemic and are now settling down. The forefront of that is lumber. See, a 2x4 at Home Depot went from $1.50 a board to $4.50 a board. That was a 200% increase. Now, the good news is they found that lumber and other raw materials were hoarded just like paper towel and toilet paper. That commodity market is starting to correct, and lumber is down almost 50%. That's the good news. That's not enough news to say that the sky is falling. It still needs to come down 150% before it goes back to normal. I don't think it's going to come down 150%. I think it'll come down about another 100%, and it'll be still 50%. A 2x4 is probably never going to go below $2 a board again. But they are increasing at a slower pace now because we're leveling out around the pandemic. And different states, this is key here, folks, what I see. I mentioned my Tennessee two-step purchase in Tennessee, where I sold an investment property in Patty Jewett in May, and I bought an investment property just a couple weeks ago before I did the 1031 exchange show last week, where I bought a house in Tennessee outside of Knoxville by Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, right by Dollywood. I call Pigeon Forge the redneck Coney Island. If you're a cheesehead or a Midwesterner like me, you know the Wolf Lodge up at North Colorado Springs. That's a Wisconsin company, and Pigeon Forge is like the redneck Wisconsin Dells. Gatlinburg is like the hillbilly Breckenridge. Small communities where more than 4.5 million people come into this part of Tennessee every single year. And what we're seeing in recovery in this article I'm looking at right here is that we see there is a revealing trait of which states have won and which states have lost the competition for people and wealth in 2019 and 20 during the pandemic. And here's the bottom line, folks, of the top 25 recovering states. So the top half of the nation that's leading the curve of recovery, 23 of the 25 states are Republican, conservative, red states. That's a fact. If someone from Denver is listening, progressive ideas are not winning recovery, period. The only two Democratic states that are even in the top 25 recovery is North Carolina and Michigan, respectively. Every other state, led by Idaho, then Utah, then Florida, then Texas, then Tennessee, then Arizona, South Dakota, Iowa, Indiana, the list goes on. There's 23 of them. But guess what is mysteriously absent? The state of Colorado, folks, and that has a great deal to do with Denver and Governor Polis. Now, this is not a political show, so I'm not going to get out of it, but facts are facts. Denver's opening up slower. I don't want to go into the details, but Michigan and parts of Wisconsin are still deep in COVID protocol where you can't even go into a hospital as a family because of the fears. I said this 6 months ago. I'll say it again. The recovery and the cure cannot be more costly than the disease or problem itself. And that's what's happening in many states. Here's the reality is that there's been an unbelievable wealth transfer from the top three losing states, which is California, New York, and Illinois, respectively. Deep blue, deep blue, deep blue states. They are losing wealth. They're losing their citizens. They're losing their economic vitality to states like Florida, to states like Idaho, to states like Utah, to states like South Dakota, to states like Tennessee, Indiana, Iowa. All of these states are flourishing. Most have almost 100% job and economic recovery. Idaho and Utah have 10 and 18% respective growth. They're 10 and 18% larger than the pandemic. So we are going to have inflationary hedges in this country that continue. It's going to be higher in California. It's going to be higher in Colorado. It's going to be lower in Florida. It's going to be lower in Tennessee. Because when we get people back to work, when we get restaurants open, when we get factories open, prices settle down. Lumber in Colorado is 80% more than lumber in Tennessee. That's just a fact. HVAC, the cost of hiring a contractor. We signed up for this when we voted for this governor and when we had an attractive environment for the fleeing folks of Washington, Oregon, and California. I saw it when I went to Arizona in the Grand Canyon. There was as many California plates in Flagstaff and Williams and the Grand Canyon than there was state tags of Arizona and others because nobody can do anything in California. They had to flee. More wealth has been transferred to Florida. More wealth has been transferred to Texas. That's more money. That's more production. And what I want to tell you with that is that's why I did the Tennessee two-step. I have real estate in Tennessee because it's more affordable to care for that rental. There's actually more profit because the costs are lower and the demand for people is higher. So you have to think, do you have a place, another state, that you can invest in your retirement, in your real estate, in your resources, to get it more affordably with less restrictions in order to protect yourself during this inflationary hedge? Now, the next thing that I talk about, I believe inflation is here to stay because commodity prices continue to surge. This is a fact that we've seen a higher index increase of commodities than we have since the 70s. That's raw materials. We're also seeing other countries are affected. So this is not a United States only thing, just like the Great Recession was a United States only thing. One of the biggest concerns that I have is that China's producer price index gauge could climb to its highest level since 2008. So for the last 12 years, they've settled their production and their cost index. And as soon as the cost of goods go up in China, the cost of goods start to go up around the world because of the proactive export or our import effect to that. If their products at a wholesale level go up, their imports on our products at the retail level are going to go up. And lastly is that I said this is worldwide, but two trends we are going to see both worldwide and here locally. You heard it here first if you like to hear information you never heard before. In 2022 and 2023, we're going to have more labor disputes, more strikes, more demands than we've seen since the last inflationary hedge in this late 90s during the dot-com boom and then bust. But also we're going to see trade wars. We're going to see trade wars internationally, but we've already got trade wars nationally with other states outperforming other states and individuals just going to another state to purchase because they're more or less affected by the inflationary hedge. So after I return, I'm going to talk about what specifically you can do to prepare your family, to prepare your personal retirement, most importantly, to prepare you personally. You have to put on your oxygen mask before you put on the oxygen mask of your child and your family around you. So don't go anywhere. Call me during the break. I want to help you with a makeover mortgage, getting rid of any unsecured debt that you have, especially before your kids go to school, especially before retirement. So don't go anywhere. Please call me, 719-330-1457. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin's.
We want to pump you up.
Well, Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay Garvin's. You're listening to the Jay Garvin Show and Podcast, and this is the wrap-up, the power segment where I put everything together on my show today as it concerns inflation. Today's show is called The Contemplation of Inflation. It's part two of what I call Getting Back to the Peanut Farm, joking in that title when we had inflationary hedges during the 70s that really affected our country more than it ever did. Interest rates at 17, 18, 20%. Also look at everything made in the 70s and it's repeating itself. If you look at the Holly Sugar Building built in the 70s compared to the Wells Fargo Tower, look at the difference of the quality of construction. Look at the difference between a 1972 Mustang and a 1966 Mustang or a 1996 or 2016 Mustang. It's obvious. It was the decade of the Hugo. It was the decade of the Pacer. It was the decade of the Chevette, the K car. Building materials, when they increase in price, dramatically affects the quality of the product. Look at a 1952 home and its construction as opposed to a 1972 home. And I tell you, well, no, construction doesn't just get cheaper with time across the board. Look at the construction of a home in 1992 or 2002. These are much stronger homes. Here's a reality right now, my friends, and I'm going to sum up the entire conversation of inflation. Do you know with the increase of plywood and OSB building materials right now, they're putting a quarter of an inch OSB on the side of homes instead of 5/8 of an inch. That makes a difference because if a board is $60 rather than $30, you have to make things add up and balance somewhere. So today I've been talking about the factors that are in place, key components, drivers in our economy right now that warrants the conversation of inflation. It's very, very simple. You can call me at 719-330-1457 and I'll have the conversation with you. Right now, number one, we have record amount of savings. And that's for a myriad of reasons that I shared in segment one and segment two. We have limited resources right now for obvious reasons. Shutdown, COVID, price, production, all of that. And we have a huge sentiment to spend. Americans are getting out again, and now there's not enough gas station attendants, there's not enough restaurant, and everybody's like, why don't they just hire them? They all went bankrupt during the great pandemic. So these three indicators is where I draw a line in the sand and I tell you, look it, inflationary measures are here to stay. It's not a bubble. They're not going to balance out like our federal and Washington White House administration states. Gas is not going to get magically cheaper from $3 a gallon back to $2 a gallon from the previous administration. Houses are not going to go from $425,000 down to $325,000. I promise you, if you guys think there's a bubble out there, you've got your head in the sand. We have 87 million millennials that are ready to consume. We have a generational shortage of homes, and we have historically low interest rates. The real estate market might slow down, but I guarantee you with a cash offer or wager that houses are never going to be cheaper than the previous year for the next 10 years. I guarantee it. And you can call me at 719-330 if you want me to just casually walk you through that. But also, I believe these inflationary hedges are here to stay because commodities, building materials, products and services are all increasing for three reasons. First and foremost, I have said here in this show for 10 full years, buy houses, please, because they're going to increase in value. And that's because I knew there were 87 million millennials before we adjust for immigrants, which I'm not even going to get out of. Add 5-10 million to the numbers that I'm giving you because of all of the undocumented immigrants flowing into this country. So the demand is not going to go away, and supply and demand is a simple rule like gravity that you can ignore it, but you can't eliminate your effect from it. No matter whether you believe in gravity or not, if you jump off your house, you're going to fall fast and hurt yourself. It doesn't matter whether you don't believe in supply and demand and trickle-down economics. If there's more people that want your house, it's going to go up in price. Products, because of the demand, will continue to go up. The second factor is the fact that we had a pause, just like World War II, where consumption, materials, availability went down and savings went up. Coming out of the pandemic, it was only a year or so, but we've got a pent-up demand. And number three is the political and economic decisions that are going to be made during this administration. We're not going to have less spending. We're going to have more spending. We're going to have more stimulus. We're going to have more restrictions and unemployment. We're going to have more government intervention. Gas prices are not going up because of the pandemic. They're going up because this administration has shut down access to public lands. They've shut down private ventures like the Keystone Pipeline. They're now trying to go more aggressive, and we're finding out that alternative energies don't work. If you have any questions, just Google the electricity emergency they're having in California because too many people are trying to charge their electrical cars during prime time. So for those three factors, it's here to stay. But what can you do to prepare for this economic cycle we're about to go into? It's very, very simple. Eliminate your debt. And that's why I'm glad that Churchill is a debt-free home lender. What does that mean? That means if you're in retirement and you can eliminate your mortgage, then that's going to save you $800 a month for your mortgage. Money saved is money earned. If you own an investment property, eliminate that mortgage on the investment property because now you're going to get $1,000 a month more or get 10 or 20% return on your investment, but especially get rid of your unsecured debt. I mean, this is like emergency, like, see, Matt did it, like siren. The sounding off of siren's emergency. You need to eliminate your unsecured debt. You have to especially eliminate your variable debt, because in inflation, when all these rates go up, mortgage rates, credit card rates, line of equity rates, installment loan rates, parakeet pet rates, everything, rates of borrowing is going to go up, and you can do what's called the makeover mortgage. We have more equity than we've ever had in America. Get rid of all of your unsecured debt. Call me at 719-330-1457, and I can help you with that. Go from a 30-year mortgage to a 15-year mortgage and still have your payment go down. Those things are possible in this environment. So don't let inflation scare you. Don't let the boogeyman scare you. Certainly don't let me scare you. Come on, I'm a nice guy. But I will tell you this. Go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's all that matters in the end. And I want to officially dedicate this show to my mother, Lorna Garvins, because our loved ones, our memories, our relationships are all that we take with us. Not our mortgage, not inflation, and certainly not your home. And if you've not called upon your passion, pray to the Lord that He would deliver it to you today, because that's what I received in you, the radio listener, the podcast listener. I would help you every day because you add value to me. Have a great day. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.